Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and on the docket today, first, the Brooke Schuyler Richardson case finished last week, and there's either enough evidence or a lack of evidence to make just about everybody unhappy about this case. Second, the Felicity Huffman matter. She was sentenced last week, and was it too harsh or too soft or just right, and where is she going to serve her sentence? Next on the docket, Lori Loughlin. She set her matter for trial. What should she expect? And finally on the docket, why are you going to let prison get in the way of running your drug organization? And why should an arrest get in the way of a romantic interlude? Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning in. If you like the channel, please subscribe. If you like the video, please hit that like button. And please leave us a comment on all of the things on the docket that we talk about here today. We do appreciate those comments. First on the docket, the Brooke Schuyler Richardson case is finished. Last week, she was found not guilty of murdering her child, but she was found guilty of gross abuse of a corpse, and she was sentenced to probation. Now, Ms. Richardson made a brief statement at sentencing, basically to the effect that she knows that she can be selfish, but she'll do anything that the court orders her to do, and because she's getting over being such a selfish person. The judge, Judge Oda, who heard the case, who ruled on the motions in the case, and ultimately had to come up with the appropriate sentence, who ultimately gave her probation, did say, "I believe if you had made different decisions, the baby would still be here," Oda said. "I think that your choices before birth, during birth, and after birth show a grotesque disregard for life." I think that pretty much sums it up. She was found not guilty because basically the prosecution could not refute her statements saying that the child was stillborn and that the prosecution could not come up with an expert to provide some evidence that, in fact, the child was alive and ultimately suffocated. It's a tragic case. There are no winners. There are nothing but losers in this particular case. The father of the child is a loser. There's no child. The child, the ultimate loser. The family is the ultimate loser. Nobody wins in these types of situations. Now, the Richardson family is making arrangements so that the young child can have a proper burial as opposed to the backyard provided by Brooke Schuyler Richardson. Ms. Richardson will have to live with this result for the rest of her life. And the question is, did she get away with it? Or was it simply a young woman panicking about a pregnancy that she didn't know what to do? The truth is probably somewhere in between. And there's only one person in the world that will truly ever know the truth, and that's Brooke Schuyler Richardson. Next on the docket, Felicity Huffman. As most of you know, Felicity Huffman was sentenced last week for her role in the college admission scandal. Now, Felicity Huffman got in early and pled guilty in this particular case. She accepted responsibility, and frankly, the amount of money that she sent off to this college admissions counselor was insignificant compared to the amounts others have paid. For example, Lori Loughlin paid $250,000 to get her daughter into USC by basically alleging that she was on the crew team, the rowing team. The daughter had never rowed in her life. Okay. Felicity Huffman paid $15,000 at the constant urging of this counselor so that the proctor could change some of the SAT results for the math section of the SAT. Now, Felicity Huffman, in her statement to the court, basically said she was torn. She knew it wasn't right, but she wanted to give her daughter every opportunity. Her daughter wanted to pursue a career in acting and didn't want her career in acting and the opportunity to go to a good school would somehow be diminished or reduced because she wasn't great at math. And obviously, the prosecutor didn't believe that. It's called life. It's called you do what you can. You get them more tutors. You do what you have to do. The judge ultimately sentenced Felicity Huffman to 14 days in prison. She was also ordered to complete 250 hours of useful public service, and she has to pay a $30,000 fine. Now, the $30,000 fine, she can certainly write a check for that, not a big deal. It's already been reported that she has shown up to a drug rehabilitation center as early as today and starting her community service hours. The question then becomes, where is she going to serve her sentence with the Bureau of Prisons? At a federal sentencing, oftentimes the judge will ask if your client has any recommendations as to where they would like to serve their sentence. Now, we have a book here in the office, and it lists all the federal prisons and all the female federal prisons, and it shows what programs they offer and what level of security that they are and whether your client qualifies and if there's any programs that are there. Now, obviously, that's for somebody that's been on a lengthy prison sentence. Ms. Huffman is only going to have a 14-day sentence, but she will do 14 days. She is not going to get any good time credit. You have to serve at least 1 year to get any good time credit in the federal system. So even if we have a client that has a sentence that could be 1 year, we always ask for 1 year and 1 day so that they can get the credit, which really boils down to about 8.5 to 9 months versus 12. Ms. Huffman's going to do the whole 14. Now, she has requested to stay at the Federal Correctional Institute, which is the FCI, Dublin, California. It's a low-security correctional institution where it currently houses roughly 1,200 female inmates, and it's in Alameda County, and it's about 35 miles just outside of San Francisco. Now, Ms. Huffman will probably spend the majority of her time in the in processing section of the prison and probably never make it to general population. This is not going to be a fun time for Ms. Huffman, but it's not going to be the worst thing that anyone has ever done. Frankly, most clients of mine who have gone to state prison and or federal prison would prefer to go to federal prison. You're going to serve a little more time on that sentence, but frankly, the conditions are a little better and the programs that are offered are a little more abundant as well. It's too bad Orange is the New Black has ended, because Ms. Huffman could certainly make a guest appearance on that show now, but it ended this past season. Now, where does this leave Ms. Laughlin, Lori Laughlin? She's the one that spent $250,000 to get her daughter into USC as a crew rower, as a crew member. Lori Laughlin originally rejected the plea offer from the United States Attorney and set the matter for trial. Now, does that mean that Ms. Laughlin cannot reach a plea bargain up till trial? No. But normally, the United States attorneys don't like the fact that they have to go through the steps of spending more time on a case, and they're really going to want something to show that you can't just enter a plea of not guilty and get a better deal simply because you push the government. Now, sometimes that works, and when you're looking at a real horrific offer, you have nothing to lose. But Ms. Laughlin was looking at some jail time, but now she's probably looking anywhere between 2 years to 5 years in prison based upon the amount of money that she wired to the academic advisor to try and get her daughter in. It was a complete fraud. It was a complete scam. And unlike Ms. Huffman, Ms. Laughlin has accepted no responsibility whatsoever and is going to take the I'm putting my head in the sand approach to a defense that I knew nothing. The Sergeant Schultz approach, I knew nothing, not gonna work, all right? Because she was arranging the photographs and she knew her daughter had never been a crew member. Ms. Laughlin was also back in court the other day because her attorneys had represented USC, and the judge wanted a waiver stating that she knows that she's going forward with her counsel that has an apparent conflict of such that the court raised it, the U.S. attorneys raised it, and the attorney raised it. And the court wanted to make sure that if she is convicted, she can't blame her attorneys for having this conflict. So everyone's setting everything up for Ms. Laughlin to fall hard. And the question now is if she is going to perhaps come to her sentence and go sometimes groveling to the United States attorney asking for the same deal that she turned down. We'll just have to wait and see. Next on the docket, why let federal prison get in your way of running your drug cartel? Ha, that didn't stop Jose Lozano Leon, 41, who's now a defendant in a 17-count felony indictment filed yesterday in the U.S. District Court of Cleveland. Mr. Lozano Leon is a Mexican national, and he has identified it as the head of a drug trafficking organization. Mr. Lozano Leon had previously been convicted of drug charges and deported, and ultimately was back in the United States and sentenced once again in 2018. Through a smuggled cell phone, he was in contact with associates, both via telephone and text messages, whereby he would coordinate delivery of methamphetamine and heroin and marijuana to the United States. A confidential informant ultimately led to the demise of Mr. Lozano Leon and is now charged with a new indictment. Just like prison bars and walls shouldn't affect you from running your international drug organization, neither should police cars and handcuffs affect you from engaging in your sexual relationships. In Fernando Beach, two individuals were riding their bikes about 11:40 p.m., and the police stopped a man and a woman who were riding bicycles with no lights on the streets in Fernando Beach, a city just outside of Jacksonville, Florida. As the two bikes cut across the road, they were almost hit by another vehicle due to them not having any lights on. While questioning the suspects, Megan Mandrano, 35, and Aaron Thomas, 31, the patrolman noted that they both smelled of booze. The officer observed bloodshot, watery eyes, and slurred speech on both. Mandrano, who declined to perform field roadside sobriety tests, was busted by the deputy, concluding that she was riding the bicycle while impaired, which is a crime. Megan was arrested and placed in the backseat of the patrol car. The cop then turned his attention to Thomas, who was subsequently arrested after he performed poorly on some roadside sobriety tests and showed signs of impairment. A search of Thomas's backpack turned up 7 full cans of 4 Loco and 1 empty. Thomas said the couple had been coming from the Hammerhead Beach when they were stopped by the police. Aaron was also arrested and placed in the backseat of the patrol vehicle with Megan, who was already arrested. Both suspects were handcuffed when they were placed into the car. While the officer was outside of his police car waiting for another vehicle to transport them, Megan and Aaron took off their clothes and started to have sex in the back of the police car. The officer obviously told them to stop and noticed that they were in various states of disrobing. Being told to stop having sex while you're handcuffed in the police car was not enough. As Thomas was being removed from the patrol car, he pulled away from the second deputy, who was knocked to the ground. The naked Thomas, who had moved his handcuffs to the front of the body, then fled through the parking lot, where he was eventually corralled by a nearby Cold Stone Creamery employee. While being transferred to another car, Mandrano, who has, quote, Miss Thirsty tattooed on her left upper arm, allegedly became violent and started kicking at a deputy, and as a result of being forced to the ground, Mandrano suffered abrasions on her face, as seen in the photo that we are now showing you. They've both been charged with DUI, resisting arrest, exposure of sexual organs, and engaging in lewd and lascivious acts. Their bond is set at $12,500. Some things you just can't make up. Thank you for watching Crime Talk. That's what we had on the docket for you today. Tomorrow, we hope to have an update on the Patrick Frazee matter because the judge ordered the defense to file any notice of alternate suspect if they intend to do so. As we have discussed before on Crime Talk, we believe the defense will say that it was Nurse Lee who killed Kelsey Barrett. The defense has to be able to show that there's some connection with that. Frankly, that won't be a problem. However, if the defense is going to allege somebody else has done it, they have to have a notice, they have to have a hearing to see if the other person actually was basically available to commit the crime in the area, and not just accusing people randomly to try and raise reasonable doubt. That deadline is due today, and hopefully we'll have it for you by tomorrow if one is in fact filed. We appreciate you subscribing to the channel. Please hit that subscribe button, hit the like button for the video, leave us a comment. You can follow us on Patreon. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook, and all the links are below. Have a great day.